Well, hello and welcome to the latest episode of Between the Sundays. And this is just a show for us to continue the conversation between Sundays here at Generations Church. And so I'm excited today to have Pastor Aaron White. He's our executive pastor over ministries, and Garrett Snyder, who is our director of communications and missions. And so, guys, I want to jump right in. We've had a lot happen over the last few weeks. We haven't recorded an episode since Easter.
Mm-hmm.
So Easter weekend at Generations Church was a great weekend.
Fantastic.
So many amazing things to celebrate. It was also spring break. It was the kickoff to spring break. So we kind of felt like it might just be us, you know, and it wasn't. But we thought everybody's
definitely
going
wasn't
to the beach, or everybody's going to Disney. But I'll start with you, Aaron, just kind of Easter weekend. We started with Good Friday. Maybe into Sunday. Maybe you talk about Good Friday and you talk about Sunday, but like, what were the things that stood out to your mind about Easter weekend?
The intimacy of Good Friday, mm-hmm. and the intentionality and just the feeling, the moments and feeling and putting yourself kind of in that mindset of like picturing Jesus on the cross,
yeah.
and looking to stories. We looked at the Old Testament and pointed to the story of the cross and Jesus on the cross, and just kind of picturing Jesus on the cross and feeling those feelings and experiencing that moment.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. Yeah. And to hear different teachings and to experience worship, it's very different than a Sunday morning.
That's right. It's around round tables.
Yeah, round tables.
Very interactive.
And what's funny is a lot of people that are new to our church are like, what is this? What should I expect on Good Friday?
Yeah.
And to explain it to them sometimes can be a little difficult,
yeah.
because it's like, it's not a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And so it's very intimate, and I just love it. You end it with communion.
Yeah.
It's very reflective, I think is a good word to describe Good Friday.
Yeah, so for those that have never been, we call it come to the table. We've mm-hmm. done this a number of years in a row. I don't know how many years in a row we've done it, but come to the table. We sit around round tables,
mm-hmm.
And we have some worship songs that kind of play in between various teaching segments. And so this year it was Pastor Madeline, Pastor Carson, and you that mm-hmm. delivered these teaching segments, all from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But there was a tangible element that each of you referenced. And this year, different than what we've done in years past, it was the same element. So like every time we pointed to a rock or a stone,
mm-hmm.
And we were talking about a number of building altar of remembrance.
Yeah.
Talking about building the wall in Ezra and Nehemiah. Pastor Carson talked about that.
The water from the rock.
The water from mm-hmm. the rock. Pastor Madeline
in
talked
Exodus.
About that. And so we had these tangible things. We had to pour water over
mm-hmm.
them. We had to put like plaster out, almost building something. You had them writing these things
yeah.
on there. And so it was very interactive, but it all pointed to the cross
mm-hmm.
and how this related to what we were actually reflecting on for Good Friday. And then we came to the very end and we took communion together.
Yeah.
And it was a special night. Man, it was powerful, packed house, both services.
Mm-hmm.
But man, really, really special. And I was thankful for what we got to experience together. And a number of people, maybe hundreds of people, I don't want to exaggerate, but used that as their Easter experience because they were getting out of town. So we did catch a lot of people on the front end of Easter weekend. And it was amazing. What about Sunday for you, Garrett? Like, what stood out to you from Easter Sunday at our church?
Yeah, it was just a big day. You know, I think going into it, you know, again, we didn't really know what to expect with spring break. But we just knew kind of in the preparation that it would be a special Sunday, kind of regardless of what attendance was like or, you know.
Sure.
But I think starting the day with the sunrise service that we do out front.
Powerful.
Yeah, you know, Friday is fantastic, and it definitely, like you said, kind of sets up Easter. But that, to me, that's always kind of, that's when Easter feels like real almost.
Yeah.
Like that's just kind of like the kickoff, like,
yeah.
just sitting out there, just kind of in the open air, with folks from the, you know, there aren't, not every church offers a sunrise service.
Yeah.
So every year, you know, we have our people that show up for it, that love it. But we have other folks from the community that just want to, be a part of a sunrise service that come out. So, it's just a great moment, just to kind of start the morning. Even going inside, like the three services that we offered, inside, it's just, there's something about just kind of that. It's that one of the services throughout the year where, you know, all the family shows up, the neighbors come that you've been inviting for
That's
months.
Right.
And, but it's just a special day, just kind of reflect on kind of the heaviness, of what that weekend entails, but also just kind of the joy and excitement like through the resurrection. And, it was a great day. You know, it's the lobbies just felt energetic and, you know, even somber at moments on Friday, but like I said, full of joy on Sunday. And, It was just a great day for the church, and
it's great.
I enjoyed it.
Well, and we had, you know, our staff, we made a really intentional effort all week long to leading up to Easter to be inviting people. Like we try to do that on a regular basis, but we were even texting each other like, hey, invited the, you know, the girl that just checked me out at the grocery store, or hey, I invited this family from the game that we were just, you know, whatever. And I loved that several of those individuals came to church on that Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was just a reminder of the power of the invite. And, you know, even again, even the, you know, the I keep referring back to it because with spring break, like you just never know what to. Easter's always historically like a big day for most churches, but we just weren't sure. But even with spring break, we had almost 1,200 people here at our church, which was crazy for that weekend. But I was excited, like you said, like that some families that we had invited came to church. Like they don't normally go to church here, but they were looking for a place on Easter and they accepted the invitation and came. And then, you know, then probably the greatest number of what we celebrated that next week. We had 44 people accept Christ that weekend, incredible. And just salvation that we celebrate. And we took some time the week after Easter as a staff to kind of spend a couple of intentional days really for specific purposes. One day we just celebrated. Like we didn't debrief anything, try to get better, try to make sure next year we've got notes. Like we just took some time on that first day and just celebrated, told stories of the people that we had interacted with. And then we took some time to really focus on like, how do we as a church continue to, or as a team, grow ourselves as our church is growing. And then looking ahead at some of the next things coming up. And so I was so thankful for what God did Easter weekend in our church and then how that's even carried over. So the next Sunday after Easter and the last several weeks, we've been in a series called Searching for Answers. And I want to spend a few minutes just really talking about kind of the series in general, and then each of the specific weeks. But, you know, historically, we've done a series that's kind of a question series, like a You Asked For It, you know, thing series, where people can ask questions or submit questions, and then we try to answer those questions for them from the Bible. But I really felt impressed in the fall of this last year, it was like October, November. I think I told the story the first week, but I was sitting, I think Corey might have been in Kohl's or Target or somewhere, and I was sitting in my car, and I was reading I was on my Bible reading plan, and I came across a passage where there was a question in the scripture, and I thought, man, there's questions in the Bible. And I don't know why it hit me that way, and I thought, that's how we need to do our question series coming out of Easter.
Yeah.
And so we really started to develop the series of what questions exist in the Bible and where are those answers found in scripture. And so I just love the fact that it's a great reminder for all of us and people that are exploring faith that questions are not a problem.
Yeah.
You can ask questions. They do not indicate a lack of faith. They do not indicate a lack of love for God, that you can ask questions. And I think that's kind of built into the culture of our church. We stole this phrase, but like you can belong here before you believe. Like this is a safe place for you to come and to explore faith and search for God and to determine who he is and who you believe him to be. And I just think that's been incredible. So I'll start with Garrett this time and kind of go, but like just the series as a whole, not even, we'll get into the specific weeks, but like how has it landed with you or what have you heard from people in the conversations?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially coming out of Easter, because you get, you know, typically a kind of high turnout of folks that haven't been in a while or maybe are unchurched, and Easter's kind of the weekend that they decide to come and show up for the first time. You know, I think you kind of get met coming out of Easter with a group of people who are typically in a place of like needing answers. So I think, you know, you said we kind of try to do this format with this series after Easter every year. This one specifically, I think the questions that were chosen, again, they're from the Bible specifically. Like it's just the first 3 weeks have felt like just such like an intentional just kind of reflection on what some of the people that are in our church right now have needed. The response has been like very specific and just powerful to kind of hear the way people are connecting and responding to kind of the answers that they're given, like biblical answers. So it's been cool to see. I'm excited we're, you know, wrapping up the series and kind of in conclusion, you know, what that'll kind of set us up for kind of going into summer, maybe getting some of these folks that are kind of getting some resolve, you know, kind of in their hearts, so things that they've been battling with, and preparing them on how to kind of continue to search for those answers and how to overcome them and the struggles that they're walking with, the temptation kind of, specifically this last week, we talked about sin and temptation and how to handle that. And they're just, you know, pretty big topics that I think people tend to question a lot. And it's been exciting to see the church kind of respond to it.
It's great. Instead of going specifically in order of the first 3 weeks, has one of them stood out to you? Like, we talked about week one, who is Jesus? Week two, we talked about where is God when I'm suffering, when I'm hurting? Week three is how do I overcome temptation? So, I mean, any of those that stand out to you, maybe not specifically for you personally, but just you feel like resonated with our congregation?
Man, I really do feel like out of like each of the weeks, there's a certain thing about each of the week that really stood out.
Yeah.
To pick one is pretty difficult. But the second week was very, very powerful.
Yeah.
I've heard people talk about the second week. I also think, you know, this is not to say like any of your sermons have been bad ever before. That was probably the best sermon you've ever preached that I truly do believe. Like, it was so good. Talking about where is God when I'm hurting? Because a lot of people, when they're going through something, a lot of times, I know for me, like personally, if I'm going through something big, there's been times where I'm like, why? Like, why am I facing this? Why am I going through this? You know, when my sister passed 2 years ago, you know, why did this happen? Why is this going on? And that happens every day in people's lives.
That's right.
They ask the question, why? Like, why am I struggling financially? Why is my marriage, like, where is God at? Like, why is he letting this happen? And so that's a question that I feel like hits home with so many people. And we saw that on that Sunday. We had an altar call at the end where I've heard people talk about that countless times. I mean, countless times. And we do prayer moments every week, but that was like a specific, like, call, altar call for that Sunday. And it was just powerful. So, thinking about that Sunday, that out of all the three, that's the most powerful. But I love the first week where you show the different prophecies from the Old Testament and how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. I was just sitting there like this. I was snapping pictures like, this is incredible. Just to like keep those, like, I think that's one thing that people, you know, need to know more is like, see the Old Testament and it fulfilled in the New Testament. Like, this is just not something that was made, like, God inspired this. Like, there's no way that all these happen and it's like, and so the second week was the most powerful.
Yeah, I think I have heard a ton of feedback from that week. And I think too, what, you know, it's questions and answers, but I also think, like you mentioned, the first week, it's a little more like heady kind of stuff, like who is Jesus and prophecies and trying to connect the dots. So that was a lot of just like knowledge-based stuff. But there was a lot of the personal interaction to say, like, who do I believe Jesus to be? We ended with the quote, you know, Lord, lunatic, and liar, the kind of C.S. Lewis quote. But it's this idea of like, you cannot say he's just a good teacher because he claimed to be the Son of God. You can't just say like, oh, he was a good moral guy because he said like, you can't get to heaven unless you come through me. Like, so he's either Lord of all, right? Or he's a crazy man, or he was the most manipulative person in history. So you have to make that decision. So I do feel like there was some self-reflection at the end where everybody had to choose, like, I mean, I've grown up in church or I've been around it, but like, what, do I actually believe that everything he said was true? Because if not, then you throw it out. But then the second week was very like, where am I living? What pain am I experiencing? What suffering am I walking through or have walked through? And where is God in the midst of that? We connected the dots from what Christ said on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? To Psalm 22, where he's actually quoting scripture. And then that Psalm, the David, the psalmist, he says in verse 24, I think it was, he was like, no, you haven't abandoned us. You haven't, you know, turned your head away from the afflicted, your face away from the afflicted. And so it's just this reminder that like he was quoting that, which wasn't a question of the Father. It was actually, again, another revelation about the Son, that he was the fulfillment of this prophetic messianic prophecy of the Psalms. And just recognizing like, what we said that week is that God knows. He knows what suffering feels like, and he's near. You know, he's close to the brokenhearted. And we did have that really powerful prayer time at the end. Great response in all of our services, especially the middle service that day. A lot of people just continuing to flood the altars for prayer. And then this past week, we talked about, you know, this idea of like sin and temptation. We talked about, you know, if you want to overcome sin, that happens through confession and repentance. But if you want to overcome temptation, like before you even give in to sinfulness, and we said, hey, we're not trying to chase perfection. That's impossible. We're all flawed human beings. But we talked about, and I heard this a number of years ago, but this idea of like reframing temptation. Like the enemy tries to disguise and deceive us, mm-hmm. but reframe it in the context of God's word. Like, what is this temptation and where would it lead? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So reframing it, like, what will this cost me? What is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. How is he trying to hook me and get me towards something else? And then to refrain from it. We talked about you have the power of self-control if you're led by the Spirit of God. And so what we feed grows, what we starve dies. Mm-hmm. Do we feed the spirit man? Do we starve the flesh man? Or vice versa? And really having self-control to say, like, I can say no to temptation. I don't just have to give in because it's enticing. You know, I'm led away by my own sinful desires, James says. Or because of generational patterns or curses or whatever you want to call them. Like, no, I have the power to say no, and I'm going to use the power of God in my life, you know, to speak and speak freedom. And I thought that was just a really, we had a lot of response there as well. Mm-hmm. Not just salvation response Sunday, which we had, I think, 16 people say yes Sunday.
4 and 9:30, 12.
12 people at 11 o'clock. Yeah. But we also had, and again, I always want to be so careful because I know the old, like, the kind of the hang up on preachers sometimes is that they exaggerate, and I always want to try to even underestimate. Mm-hmm. I think between our three services, though, we probably had 100 hands or more of just like, hey, I'm looking for victory, though. Like, I want to live that victorious life. Like, I've got some things that I need God to help me to find victory in as it relates to sin, temptation. And I just thought it was a powerful prayer response. And so that was just a really, really, really sweet time at the end of our service. Mm-hmm. The other crazy thing, and we talked about attendance at Easter, I think Sunday was the largest attendance of the year except for Easter. Like, it was crazy just continuing to see, like, more and more new people come to our church, which I thought was just really, really amazing. And so any other final thoughts about the series, the Sunday, anything for you guys the last couple weeks before we jump ahead to close?
I'd say just get here for the rest of it.
yeah, it's going to be good.
How many more weeks do we have?
Two more weeks.
Two more weeks.
Yes. Yeah, this coming Sunday and then the first Sunday of May. And we're gonna finish strong. It's going to be good. So, well, we've got we enter into May. We've got Mother's Day. We've got kind of our graduate recognition and youth takeover day. And then that leads us into the summer. And we'll have a couple more episodes before then. But I'm excited this summer. We're going to dig into the book of Philippians and really every week just kind of tackle some of the things that Paul was writing to this amazing church and what we can learn from that, how we can grow in that, how we draw something from, you know, these from thousands of years ago now. But I'm just excited about that series. So a lot of great things coming up. Yeah. But my hope is for those that are watching and listening, you'll join us in person. If you can't join us in person, join us online. And be here on the Sundays, not just between the Sundays. Yeah. So until next time, God bless. We'll see you soon.